Thanks for listening to Anything and Everything with Matt. Cameron and Justin King, Cameron Filotti. They're a part of a band called Open Your Eyes. Mm-hmm. Right, you guys have been together now for how long?
He's been around for 3 years now. Four, yeah.
Yeah.
Justin and I've been playing together though for 10.
A decade straight.
Yeah.
Wow. Since high school, right? How'd you guys meet?
MySpace.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had like
MySpace.
A song on there that I really liked.
Great days, man.
Yeah,
like one of my first social media.
Yeah, one of my friends showed me it, and he was like, yeah, they only have one guitar player, and I had hit him up because I was playing guitar in a band forcefully because no one else we knew at that age should really play much, and I was always a bass player.
Yeah,
and he said, we aren't looking for another guitar player, but our keyboard player he plays bass too, and he just wants to play keyboards, so for me, I was like...
Oh, so you started on keyboards?
No.
Basically, we had a keyboard player that was playing bass simultaneously. We were still a three-piece at the time. And Cameron, yeah, when he asked me, I remember reading the message, and I was like, I don't want another guitar player, you know? Like, I make enough noise on my own. At that point, I felt like that. So I was like, but we are looking for a bass player because our keyboard player is looking to drop the bass and just play keys because he's really into the keyboards. He doesn't want to play bass. He's playing bass because we don't have a bass player. Mm-hmm. So Cameron's like, yeah, man, like, I'll try out for bass. And that was kind of his primary thing anyways that he wanted to do.
Yeah, like, I was playing guitar in my band because we couldn't find another guitar player. So I was forced to do that. And, like, because we had my buddy who was like, I could play guitar. You know, you're in middle school, high school, you'd play with these people. And then I had played with him, and he was awful at guitar. So, you know, we were young, and I couldn't really find anyone that knew how to play an instrument in general. So I threw him on bass, turned it down, and then I played guitar. I wasn't great at guitar or anything, but, you know, I just wanted to play. Like, I couldn't sing either, and no one in my band wanted to sing. We kept trying out singers, so I just sang. I just wanted to play music.
Yeah. So is there any bands that, like, inspired you guys to, like, try to gear towards?
Of course.
Obviously, like, you have your favorite bands, but, like, I don't know, mutually, like, we both love the Foo Fighters a lot, so.
Green Day is a common denominator all of us have.
Yeah. We have a lot of bands that we honestly...
Old school stuff, too.
Yeah, like, we really bond over classic rock. Like, everybody else in our band that we always ever have, for the most part, in the recent years, like, in the past, like, 8, wasn't really classic rock, which I found crazy, because his dad, you know, was a straight, like, pretty much, like, you know, typical 70s like rock hippie type dude, and my mom was the same thing, so we grew up on a lot of rock and roll from that time frame.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. We had that DIY mentality too, because we were raised in, like, you know, Northwest Indiana is definitely a place where, like, if you want to be heard or seen, like, you have to really earn it. It's not like there's opportunities to be heard everywhere. There's not venues everywhere, so you got to make your own luck here. So I think that was part of, like, the punk rock ethic we all kind of bonded over to.
It's just Indiana, thing. Midwest in general, like, blue collar, you know, you gotta work for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of translated into how our music career is now, just working for what we want.
And it's reflected in the sound too. It's like, I, you know, there's a lot of people, like, go to write songs and it's like a 5-minute process, but it's not that easy for me. It's like it's there's blood all over my paper after,
you can,
like,
hear
there's
it.
A lot, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Like, I will slave for, you know, months, years, sometimes in some cases, like, years over just, like, 30 seconds of a song isn't perfect. So it's like, all right, we have to, you know, it's not ready yet, but it's like, it's almost there, but it's, you don't want to force it, you know, it's because then you look back and regret it the rest of your life. So I don't know, it's difficult sometimes, but there's a lot to it, and I think that's what makes it rewarding for not only me but everybody else. It's like we really do put our all into it. When we do something, we do it full force.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So like who in your life, you know, inspires you to who inspired you to pick up your first guitar and start playing?
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Yeah, he for me, like, he was sort of the perfect marriage between like a producer and a guitarist and a songwriter. Like, he had this trifecta, but he also, like, every song was different, you know. It was like Zeppelin never had a song that sounded like another one. So I love that about them, is like they're so drastically like weird and obscure, but you know, they have their character like intact, and every song you can hear it's Led Zeppelin, but yet it sounds like a totally different set of musicians playing the instruments. It's weird. But that's why that's what really like inspired me to pick the guitar up, for sure.
Yeah, mine was Vern Zebrowski from CKY. Like, I just watched a music video. I don't even know if I knew much about the bass, really. I just wanted to be like him. So I picked bass because he played bass, and I'm like, I want to play that. So usually people play guitar first, and
yeah.
Other than that, though, like, what I truly think is like our biggest inspiration, like, is honestly me and Justin. Like, he inspires me and I inspire him, I feel like, the most. Like, we're each other's motor. Once someone like kind of gets down, the other person starts pushing them up, and vice versa, you know. So
yeah,
it's weird. It's like two best friends wanting to see best friends achieve something great. That's what it really is at the end of the day, I feel like. So
yeah.
Have you guys ever had like any close calls where you guys almost split up? Because I know you guys had a lot of drummers you went
through. You can look at it like that. I look at it like this. Like, if any relationship is worth its salt, it's going to go through some intense trials where it's like just pulled to the absolute maximum that it can be, and then it you know, retracts. But that's just making durability. I mean, if you look at anything that's endured over time, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes pain, it takes struggle. Anything good is there's pain involved up front before you achieve the goal. So I look at it as like, you know, I don't think we would have ever broken up. I think we've had enough trials and tribulation at this point to like look back and go, if we were going to break up, it would happen by now.
You know, also another thing is like, you know, any kind of friendship, relationship, anything you look at, man, like, how many of your friends are you still friends with from 10 years ago, let alone your best friend? Like, I've never gone more than a week in the past 10 years without talking to Justin.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, you know, even if like our band was quote unquote broken up or something, or like, you know, when he went away for a bit and did his thing, like, I still talked to him, I still encouraged him. So, you know, I mean, like, that's a hard thing to do, whether it's any kind of relationship, friendship, brotherhood. Like, I'll go on tour and not talk to my brother longer than I'll not talk to Justin. Mm-hmm. And, like, my brother and I are best friends when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a lot different. I think a lot of people just look at it as, like, your pretty basic friendship, but it's pretty close encounters at all times.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I look back, too, on, like, the quality of, like, care that we had for each other. That's, I think, what sticks out to me. It's like, I've had friends, I've had best friends, I've had great friends, but I've never had somebody like unconditionally care about me this much. So that, I think, has kept me like just in the same boat, as far as like, you know, if a human cares for me like that, I'm gonna care about them that way.
Sure. We've done shit that like each other hates, but we still put up with it and still try to understand it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's been times like where Justin will like, he changes every 2 years into something different. So each time I have to embrace whatever that change is. And
there's an evolution, you know, for sure. Kamran, and it, by the same token, Kamran is, to me, sometimes frustrating in a sense where he won't change anything, ever.
Yeah.
So, but I love him for it.
I change more subtly than Justin does. Justin's is overnight, like, bam.
Yeah, when I have revelations, things shit changes.
They
like,
roll fast.
Yeah. For sure.
So what's like your favorite story and the best moment you've had on like tour? You guys tour a lot around the country.
There's a lot of best moments.
Yeah, for me,
what's one that stands out?
To me, the one that sticks out for me the most is, you know, we did a lot of independent DIY touring for years, and the first show of like our first real tour package, so like when we're Open Your Eyes, finally, we're putting out our first album, we're in Salt Lake City, and it was a tiny place, but you know, at home, we're like hometown heroes. We're fucking kings. We draw, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people every time. And, you know, it makes you feel like a rock star. It rubs your ego really good. And then,
in Salt Lake City?
Well, no, at home.
At home.
Like
at home.
In Indiana, so.
And you go to a place like Salt Lake City and you're stoked if there's 75 people.
Yeah,
like,
so, like,
you're
every
chef.
Tour date we did, like, before that, like, there was a few maybe where there's like, 70 people or something. But, you know, most of the time it's, like, 5-0. Like, you know what I mean? Because you're a nobody in that town.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're on our first tour package, worked really hard to get this, and it was the tiniest place ever, but it was packed. And the energy was good, and I just remember that day being, like, a defining day in my life where I'm like, oh, finally a good crowd, no matter, like, the rest of this tour is going to be good crowds, and they're enjoying it, so it's like, finally I'm starting to, like, you know, take the step at really achieving my dream.
Yeah.
And that was one of, like, the most defining moments to me in this band, where I was really, really stoked. I mean, there's a zillion, but that one's one that always sticks out to me, where I remember, like, one of my happiest moments.
That's awesome.
Yeah, mine's actually more recent. Like, I think the tours we were doing last year were really cool. I'm super appreciative for them. I think the thing in my mind that clicked, that made me realize I was, like, I mean, I've always felt like a lifer in this situation, but I don't know, for some reason, the studio, the album we're recording right now, there's this new song we have called Mad, and that song, after I wrote it, defined the next chapter of this band, and the sound sort of was reconstructed in my own mind, and also, like, on the record, it's going to be a different experience, but I think that was a turning point. It was like, oh, wow, this is something unique that we've never done, but I love it more than anything we've ever done.
Yeah.
So that was a reinventing of our sound, of our attitude in a way. It was like, it's a weird song, because it's like, it's us in the sense that it talks deeply about things, but also not us in a sense where it's kind of apathetic in a way. It cares though at the same time. It's this duality of insanity, but it works so good lyrically and musically, and that's I think is sort of that just defines that period for us. Was like,
I can't wait to hear it. When does it come out?
I wish I know.
There's what's so different about your lyrics is, like, you're truly, truly an artist, because they're more like poems, you know?
Yeah.
They're more like,
some of them start out actually as just like words on page.
I feel like that's kind of how you do it. Like, you just have a thought and you kind of just start writing it down, because some of them are like, you can break down some of the lines and go back, and it can mean so much. Like, you have to listen to it a bunch of times in order to catch everything.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah,
it's not just a song with the same repeated quote, the same lines, and the same verses and all that. It's actually engaging, and it means something, and you guys are making it about things that actually matter in this world, you know?
Well, yeah, I think we care a lot about it, not in a bad way, about how we're perceived, because I want to make sure that people know that we take time, and we care a lot about how the song comes out, and we care about how it's arranged. We care about every last detail of it. It's one of those things where not too many bands are interested enough in their own craft to refine every detail to the point where it gets perfect in their own mind, you know, in their own vision. That's something that not a lot of bands are willing to do. They just want a producer to do that for them. But this album, we're kind of taking those reins over and taking our time with it, but making sure that it's what we want to play. And I think that's what is going to make it unique, and also hopefully give it some life, because there's not a lot of things out there like that today. You know, not a lot of bands are willing to shit the bed and do what they want to do, and if for better or worse. It's like, I'd rather fail as myself than succeed as trying to be something else I'm not.
It's pretty funny. It's like, we've always thought we were pretty lenient towards, like, you know, getting advice from, like, a producer or something. But then the last producer that we were working with when we first started this record, we went out there to record it, and I think he's so used to co-writing with people, like, and, like, we're fine with, like, you know, hey, you have an idea, throw it in. Like, whoever's even in the room, we don't care really who it is. Like, you know, it's an art form, and an art form's supposed to be humans connecting. And, you know, he just sat there, and he was like, so we're like, what are you gonna change? And he goes, nothing, man. Song's already written. He's like, it's good as is. It was weird to us, because, you know.
Wow. But I think that gave us an accurate, like, gauge on, like, oh, most of the bands he comes in with have, like, a lick or a riff or a hook, you know, and then he builds the song with them. But we had, like, fully fleshed out demos and arrangements that were pretty much done.
We all come there pretty much with parts written. Wow. Like, you know,
I mean, 90% of what was on the demo on the two tracks ended up in the final. So you look at it, and it's like, okay, like, that's why I'm excited about it, and more excited about this one than the last one, is because it's way more us, way more hands on, way more, okay, let's fill in the blanks like we want to fill them in, you know? Because last album was way more produced and a lot less finished when we went into make it. So
last time we were just learning how to do a lot of things that we wanted to know how to do, and we didn't really know how to do it on our own. So even now, you know, we don't know how to do everything on our own, but that was a big stepping stone, and if we find another producer that could help us to learn some new tricks, totally always down. But you know, this time, just how you know, it's not how the cards turned out, and the cards were for us to just do our own record.
So we're
the producers on it.
Do you get nervous when you go up on stage?
No, not at all.
Nothing?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, even when you're playing at restaurants and stuff?
sometimes.
That's where I would get more nervous. I get more nervous if there's less people.
And it's just what, quieter setting?
Well, it's just, I feel like when there's less people, everything's focused on you to a very, I mean, I'm sure it's not, but, you know, I feel like when it's less people, everything's focused on you.
Oh, like less band members?
No.
Like less
audience? Less audience. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. They're, you know.
The more intimate, the more pressure.
Mm-hmm. To me, the bigger, it's like, oh, well, whatever, like, you know, there's so many things going on, they're so awed by everything that if you make a little mistake, no one's going to notice. But if you're playing in front of, like, 5 people, 10 people, like, screw that. Yeah. I hate that, because then they're like...
See, it's always been, like, to me, like, intimate audiences bring a certain unique pressure, but there's... The big audiences are always... It's like, you have to prove yourself for us, because we're not that band that, you know, has a follow, like, a massive following or anything. We have to earn respect. And so when you go out on tours opening for bands, you want to go out and you want to make sure that when you walk up the stage, you represented yourself to your fullest potential. And that's the demon I fight with all the time, is like, man, I didn't, you know, I shouldn't have ate that, or I shouldn't have drank that milk for breakfast or whatever. Like, the smallest things can throw performance off. Dairy constricts the throat. So I'm really hard on myself vocally. Like, a lot of times, I don't know if I've ever sang a show I'm proud of. I think a lot of times, too, it's like, you know, the amount of pressure and focus you put towards perfection can actually hinder the level of perfection. So, like, if there's a thing I believe in called organic perfection. You listen to Billy Joe from Green Day, you listen to Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, those guys have achieved that to me. Are their performances note-wise pitch perfect? No, they're not. Are they, you know, the guitars, they're not making any mistakes. They make a mistake a song. Usually, you know, you can catch it if you're really watching and you know the records. But that's what's beautiful. Like, that makes
me... It's confidence.
Well, not only the confidence, but the spirit and the energy and the passion behind the confidence. And also the not giving a fuck if there is a mistake. That is... I'm in love with that. It's like, oh, man, you're not afraid to go out on a limb, put your heart in your sleeve, and show everybody, hey, I'm human and I make mistakes and there's no backing tracks and there's not a click track here. We're just a band on stage playing together. That is attractive to me. That's what nobody does. That's what everyone, I think, would be better off doing. Because it separates the musicians from the people trying to make music a job. And the people trying to make music a job, like a lot of these hipster bands that, you know, it's like, oh, we wrote a cool song with whistling and a lot of reverb. Let's fucking have a hit on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's over. Get out of here. I don't think that's rock and roll. I don't think it's real. These dudes that are playing like 2 notes on their guitar, but there's like 100% reverb decay, and it's like, it's just like noise, but it's not going anywhere. Yeah. You know, there's barely any melody. It's lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's not breathing. It doesn't have that ferocious attitude that rock and roll, I believe, deserves. And, you know, the Q101 is, like, called a rock station. And, like, the only rock they play on there is from the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hear any rock today.
It's kind of crazy, too, because, like, when you go to certain places like Arizona, they have an awesome rock station.
Yeah.
And it plays all these bands that you would never know. Like, you know, like, Nothing More is up for a freaking Grammy this year. You probably don't even know who Nothing More is. That's crazy. There's a band that's a rock and roll band. You don't even know who they are, and they're up for a Grammy.
Yeah, bands.